Turn with me to the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Let's read through verse 4. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now this book, this blessed book, that, Lord willing, we'll study together, has its contents fully and completely opened and revealed to us in the first verse. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of St. John the Divine or the revelations of Christ. It is the revelation of him. It is a book that I realize has, I know for myself, probably for others, has been one of great speculation, wonder. But it is a book that Almighty God has sent, set forth by his Holy Spirit. It is one that has a promise to it. It says, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. It is with that promise from the mouth, the mind, will and purpose of him who cannot lie, that we have this great and blessed promise. We are assured from the words of our Lord. In John 5:39, it says, speaking of the Scriptures, they are they which testify of me. So I know, based on the outset, from the very beginning, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind what this book, or who this book, let me say it that way, is all about. It's about him. In the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we behold who he is, what he has done, what he is doing, what he shall do. And in him, all things are yea and amen. They're done. Knowing, I understand perfectly, that there are things without doubt, prophecies that have been fulfilled. I don't doubt that a bit. Things yet to come. I don't doubt that a bit. Things that we have yet to behold, to see. But we bow to His good pleasure to reveal those things to us concerning His blessed Son. We are not going to try to sit down and figure out exactly who, what, when, where, or this person, or label this, and this is this guy, and this is this. We're going to look into the Scriptures and pray that the Spirit of God might reveal to us all things in light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not sitting here to speculate on times. Someone, I have heard of different ones that have sat down and tried to figure out exactly. They said, this is when the Lord's going to do this. This one's going to do that. This is what the Lord has revealed through Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. That ends it. Right there. Who can tell? Who can say something that God Himself has not been pleased to set forth? Proverbs 25:2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. That which He reveals is for us, for our children. That which He reveals not belongs to Him. It's His honor. But of that which we are sure, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're sure of that. The uncovering, the unveiling. And when we say the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we mean that which the Scriptures set forth concerning Him. In Luke 24, just turn with me there, 24, verse 27, the Scriptures speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ to those on the road to Emmaus, and it says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures concerning Himself. Look at verse 44. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Now let me tell you, and this you already know, but let me tell you again. I'll tell you what a believer wants to see. They want to see Him in the Scriptures. They want to hear Him. They want to behold Him. As Brother Scott just said, a believer, the more they hear of Him, the more they want to hear of Him. Setting forth. Here we behold the merciful, omniscient God who gave unto Him, brought forth, committed, delivered up by the Lord Jesus Christ, the disclosure of His goodness and mercy that would otherwise have been hidden. How would we know? How would we perceive? How would we understand? This is the revelation of Jesus Christ by God Himself, by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word Himself, the author, the subject of all that we know. He has revealed unto us. And why did He do this? In His mercy and grace, the Scriptures set forth in that first verse, to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. God in His infinite grace was pleased to not be silent toward a people that He has everlastingly loved. All things were delivered unto me of my Father, said the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 11:27. All things that God's purposed, all things that God has ordained and established in an everlasting covenant, all things, He said, are delivered unto me, He said. And now we see the revelation of Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, revealed. Matthew 11:27, the Scripture says, "No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Now let me tell you what that means. No man, no one knows how. Now we know and believe, the Scripture clearly sets forth, Father, Son, and Spirit. Now, you explain to me, I know you can't, this is just a statement. How can the Son of God, who is Son, be Son? No one knows how the Son of God is Son but the Father. Now, He's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, God. That's it, Brother Scott. It's God. How is He Son? No man knoweth the Son but the Father. How can that be? And no man knows the Father. How the Father is Father but the Son. How is that? We hear it. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him or enlighten his heart to believe that. You say, I believe that. Don't understand it. I wouldn't stand here, Dan, and try to give somebody the impression I understand. I don't. But I believe that. Absolutely. This revelation was not sent for any other purpose but to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was signified, or it was made known by His angel, the Scripture says, unto His servant John. Who was the angel? The Scripture doesn't tell us. It reveals that it was sent to John by God's angel. The same John, I believe, who wrote of the Lord Jesus Christ while He walked this earth. John, a man blessed of God. John, he said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He tabernacled among us. That which John wrote also, which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've looked upon, our hands have handled, of the Word of life. Now Almighty God's been pleased by His angel to send unto His servant, John, this testimony concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, a witness inspired by the Spirit of God. Blessed, blessed. There's a blessing that is given to and bestowed upon those, the Scripture says. Blessing. Seven times in this revelation, the Spirit of God reveals those who are truly blessed. I want to take this first opening message of this blessed book and set the foundation, Lord willing, of this study. I want you to turn with me and look. First of all, we see right there, verse 3 and verse 1, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now turn with me, 14:13, Revelation 14 and verse 13. There's another blessing set forth. Revelation 14:13, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Turn over to 16:15. Revelation 16:15. Behold, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. That's a blessing that a man would be found watching, waiting. 19, verse 9. Revelation 19, 9. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now, that's a blessed man, blessed woman. Blessed are those that are called by God's grace to the marriage. Chapter 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Chapter 22, verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And verse 14 of the 22nd chapter. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Special blessing that has been given to those here, that third verse back in the first chapter, of those that read it and hear it. The reading of the Scripture was done, performed by our blessed Lord in Luke 4 as he read from the prophet Isaiah. And there is a blessing promised to those that read it with a heart made sensitive by the Spirit of God to long after Him, to hear Him, to hear Him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing, that is to say, hearing with a desire to hear, with an understanding. In Acts chapter 7, now let me show you some men that didn't want to hear. Turn with me to Acts 7, verse 51. Acts 7, 51. He said, blessed are those that read this, read it with a heart longing for the revelation of Christ, and that have a heart that longs to hear from Him. Luke 7, 51. Stephen is speaking here. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation or the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their coats at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. They didn't want to hear. Didn't want to hear. I won't hear. I'm not going to hear what you've got to say. Blessed are those that read this and have a heart and an ear to hear. Those that hear, they do so by the grace of God. Proverbs 20 and 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye. The Lord hath made even both of them. A man sees and a man hears, he does so by the grace of God. And there's a blessing to those, the Scripture says, that keep these things, those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now how? I thought this to myself as I read that. How can it be said that a man can keep those things which are written therein? How can they? In John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. John 17, I'll just read this to you if you want to turn to it, but I'll read it. John 17, 6, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His high priestly prayer, said this, John 17, 6, I've manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me, and listen, they have kept thy word. Now let me ask you something. Do you think that based on his word, based on that which he has set forth, that they kept his word? Do you think they have? They have. That wasn't a trick question. Based on his word, he said, I manifested your name unto the men that you gave me out of the world. Thine they were, you gave them to me. They kept your word. Those that are said to keep the word of God are those that are said to continue with him. I know that. But I do know this. Those that keep his sayings, those that endure to the end, those that will not go away, as some did, are those that are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. They've kept your word. How have they kept your word? God's kept them. Psalm 119:11 says this, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word. Now that's a blessed thought. Thy word. The communion of Almighty God to my soul. Now here's a miracle of God's grace. Because God, if we know anything, it is by the grace of God. If we keep anything, it's by the grace of God. Thy word, thy direct and distinct message to my heart. I have hid in my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Here is my treasure, your word. This is my treasure. The word of God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The word was God. Thy word have I hid. How? What is this heart? Thy word have I hid in my heart. 1 Timothy 1:19 reveals this, describes our heart as being a good conscience. A good conscience. Thy word, that new heart. The Lord said, I'll give them a new heart. I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new heart in you. I'll give it. I'll keep it. And I'll reside Christ in you, the hope of glory. These things that are so high, so indescribable. How wonderfully do we behold the grace and compassion of the thrice holy God, who by the imputation of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, beholds us as we are in Him, faithful. Blessed are those, verse 3, of those that read and hear and keep those things. And not a believer that will say to you, I have kept these things, or I've maintained these things by my own power or by my own will. He's kept me. But they're kept. They are kept. In myself, that is in my flesh, I know there dwells no good thing. But to all that the Lord God Himself has charged, imputed, the righteousness of Son. Brother Scott just said just a moment ago, as He is, so are we in this world. That's the truth. Now, flowing throughout the book that we began to study this morning is the church's assurance of the Lord God's presence with her. That's what we shall behold throughout this book. Her triumph in Him over Satan and the world. Not by her own ability. I'd hate to know that I had to go through this world thinking that I was going to have to do the best I could. Mitch, that's just not going to get it. Through Him. The judgment of Almighty God shall we behold toward those that oppose Him. oppose His church. And finally, the glorious holy city, New Jerusalem, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We shall behold the revelation of Jesus Christ. The unveiling of Christ regarding all things as we behold in all of the divisions, the trumpets, the bowls of wrath, the seals, we shall behold Him. Almighty God in Him. The book of the Revelation is rooted in and in full harmony with all the Scriptures. That's what Christ says. Now, to whom is this book written? The Scripture says in verse 4, John, to whom the Lord entrusted or gave this record. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne. John to the seven churches. Now these seven churches are specifically named in verse 11. There's no doubt about it. They were seven individual churches. No doubt they were churches that existed at that time. I will not get into the depth. I'll just make this statement. They were churches that were there at that time, and as far as I know, they're not there anymore. The Lord doesn't have to maintain His candlestick, but they were seven churches that were there. Now, seeing that this revelation is written, and we're going to notice that the word or the number seven is used over and over and over in this Scripture. That word seven is the number of perfection, of completeness. This book being a book of symbolism, I understand that there are some things that will be set forth concerning the completeness and the perfection in Christ. So therefore, this book is written to the seven churches. One writer said that no doubt that there were other churches that were there in existence at the time. But these seven churches, by that we understand that this revelation is given to the entire and complete church. We may safely say that though seven churches are spoken of, it doesn't mean seven periods of time. I've heard that where someone said, well, this was this church and Ephesus and Sardis and Church of Thyatira and on and on and on. Now, here we are at Laodicea. I've heard that. I'm sure you have too. Well, if that's the case, then Sardis and Ephesus, and that was just history to me. These seven churches, doesn't mean seven periods of time, but that each church throughout the span of time is described in the conditions set forth in each of these churches. In these seven churches, every bit of that is relevant today. Seven churches. Grace and peace to the seven churches which are in Asia. And as we get into it, we behold what the Lord says to His church. All seven of these churches is going to say something to us now, today, 2005, in Katy, West Virginia. These seven churches, Lord speaks today. Grace and peace from Him which is, which was, which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before His throne. This message is to the seven churches. Grace and peace is given to the elect. From Him. That's what it says. Grace be unto you and peace from Him. Him. Who is the Him? He is the I Am. Jehovah. Thrice holy God. Father, Son, and Spirit through the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. grace and peace from Him. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." My God. That's what Paul says, the eternal God. Whenever Moses was sent into Egypt, he said, "Who shall I say sent me?" And the Lord told him, He said, "You tell him that I am." Eternal God. He who, according to this Scripture, which is, which was, which is to come, the I Am. You tell Him, "I am." My God, Paul says, in eternal covenant, in all of His promises that are yea and amen, shall supply all your need. Let me tell you what your need is. Grace. Grace. That's what I need. I need grace. I need peace. I need peace. My God shall supply all you. I need His mercy. I need grace. And therein, I have peace before Him. Because He is at peace with me by Jesus Christ, who reconciled us to God by His death. Much more, being reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. Grace. I've heard some say that grace is giving me what I did not deserve by nature. Grace. The grace of Almighty God. The pardon of sin. Justification by His blood. Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Preserved by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And sanctified by His Spirit. Grace. And peace. Peace. John 14:27, the Lord speaking, He says, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Peace. Now when He said that, what He said was, He said, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give you." Peace left and peace given. Peace that is left, that is, here's the peace I have. Number one, I have peace of being reconciled to God. Romans 5:11 says, "Being justified by faith, we have peace with God." That is to say, peace by the Lord Jesus Christ, our righteous surety and substitute. In Him, by Him, sins are blotted out. Scripture says, and taken out of the way by His atonement. Peace with God. Christ, peace I leave you. He's wrought peace for us before God. And peace, He said, I give you. That is to say, a settled heart. Settled. Settled heart. The believer is calmed in his heart, in his conscience, because of the peace that's wrought by Christ. And He's taught that by the Spirit of God, based on the sure promises of the Lord Jesus Christ in His Word, and by the merits of His sacrifice in His blood. Peace I leave you, and peace I give you. Peace before Almighty God. That's a wonderful thing. Teach me that. Lord, settle me. Lord, grant me peace. I can settle down and believe that. Hear these. And when I hear that and I look into Your Word, speak to my heart. Your Word have I hid in my heart. I might not sin against Thee. Grace and peace. Predestinated gifts of the Father and the Son and the Spirit, the eternal God. He who was and is to come. The Father who chose us in Christ. Purposed peace. Christ the Son who purchased by His blood all that the Father chose. Turn back one page probably to the book of Jude. Just verse 1 and 2. And I'm going to close with this. In the next, well, I may make one other statement. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. And then the Scripture says in that last part, back in Revelation 1, the last part of verse 4, and grace and peace, that is, from the Holy Spirit, from the seven spirits which are before His throne. Not that there are seven persons, for God the Holy Spirit is, as the Scripture sets forth, as one God. One person. God the Father, one God. God the Son, one God. But it means seven in perfection, seven in fullness. He bears witness perfectly and fully of the Lord Jesus Christ to His church. That's what He's saying. So we see in those first four verses, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ from God, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John, who bare record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne. Lord willing, we'll take from that point and continue in this blessed revelation of our blessed Lord. Our Father.